The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hindies.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
For weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yes! Yes!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's getting exciting here at Gillette Stadium. I can feel football on the horizon, and all indications have it a CBA most likely being voted on today or tomorrow by the players and Thursday by the owners, and hopefully we'll have something done
tomorrow by the players.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different than what I was reading today.
What comic book Friday. Are you reading?
No, I was reading from the clips that I printed out.
I heard Wednesday players, then Thursday owners.
Yeah,
Wednesday executive committee players, but Friday for all the players, right?
Well, I don't know.
Because the executive committee can't speak for all the players. They have to put that to a vote to all 1,900.
That's I say this all the time, but a new world record. 11 seconds today.
Well,
disagreement after 11 seconds.
From what I hear, obviously we don't know whatever. Thursday it would be official, so whatever happens on Friday would be a formality, I get, you know.
Yeah, essentially, but they still have to go through those motions.
I don't know. Anyway, so things are looking good. I guess, you know, if you're following the tweets and the blogs and the websites and the scrolls, there's still matters that need to be ironed out. But as Jerry Jones said the other day, they're down to circumcising mosquitoes. So if that's the case, then
that's the quote of the year.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. Looks like we're going to have football this year, full season. And what the rules are, we don't know. What training camp will look like, we don't know. You know, what the off seasons going forward will look like, we don't know. But we're going to find out pretty soon if things work out in the next 48 hours. So that's good. That's good. I'm glad that all our shows in the off season were not for naught. You know,
they never are.
Well, no, but you know, it would have been really bad if like we didn't have a season, right?
It'd be tough to maintain this level of entertainment for an entire season without football.
We could be the NBA shoes, which.
But they're just getting started. I mean, people were predicting doom and gloom for the NFL lockout. Back then, too. Remember, who was it? Collinsworth saying, made some prediction about November, and if it doesn't, you know, people were saying that, too. So there's still hope for the NBA. They just ended their season.
I know. But they're in a lot more dire straits.
They are.
Anyway, things are looking good. Interesting notes today that came out as far as this Brady lawsuit that, you know, Vincent Jackson and Logan Mankins could conceivably ask for a settlement based on precedent?
They want they either want unrestricted free agency for the two of them or $10 million, either from their clubs or from the league, an extra $10 million.
And is that official? Like they've officially asked for that, or is that someone thinking that's what
they're asking? Yahoo Sports, yeah, Jason Cole.
It was
report.
A report that says that that's what they're asking for. You know, who knows if it's legit or not. It certainly seems to be legit. Enough people have, I think our not-so-buddy Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe confirmed it and got a source on the NFL side to indicate basically that Mankins and Jackson are out of their minds if they think they're going to hold up the wants of 1,900 players based on two. It comes down to a simple fact. And if this was Mankins' doing, if this is something that he believes in, feels strongly about, absolutely. Now, if it's something that Jeffrey Kessler, the agent for the NFLPA, one of their attorneys, if this is something he cooked up to try to sort of throw a monkey wrench into the process, then I don't see Mankins holding, you know, sticking to the guns on this one like he did last year. If it's not that important to him, I don't see him doing it. Well, it seems to be a little bit of an outrageous demand.
But then I also heard a tweet. Actually, Bilo told me that somebody was tweeting me just recently that now Manning and Breeze would be asking not to be franchised.
Right.
Is that new now? Because that was old.
I saw
they originally did that a while ago.
They did. I think
Kessler has been on that. He was on that in March.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, Fred. That they were saying that I saw that report today too that included their names in it. I think what they were saying is that this would add fuel to the Manning and Breeze fire if they don't get what they're looking for.
And then you have a whole slew of other players who are like, geez, I should have named myself to that lawsuit. I could have got something too. So
I hear it is. This is from the Jason Cole story on Yahoo. It says an NFL source said that the league would consider all its options in dealing with the settlement that you refer to. However, the league might be more inclined to pay Jackson and Mankins because removing the franchise tag would set a precedent for Manning to ask for the same thing now and Breeze to do so next year if he doesn't get a new contract from the Saints.
So, man, if Mankins gets $10 million on top of his franchise tag, he's doing all right this year, huh?
That's $20 million,
yeah,
roughly, right?
And then he'll be a free agent.
And then he'll
be make another $20 million next year.
Right.
You know, roughly.
Yeah. So that's he's doing okay. Things worked out for Logan Mankins. If, you know, I still hope that the Patriots just sit down and sign him to a long-term contract. And
I hope so, too.
You know.
I hope so,
yeah,
too.
See, I thought that the Manning and the Breeze thing were old because that was Kessler's thing from the onset of the lockout back in March, you know, trying to separate Manning and Breeze. And now this is speculation that if they were to acquiesce to Jackson and Mankins' demands of eliminating the franchise, that would open the door for them to readdress that, which they can't have that. They can't have that.
Right.
So they're either going to pay them or Mankins and Jackson are going to lose.
Right.
I thought, did you read Florio on that?
No.
Florio really ripped apart Jackson and Mankins. And one of his reasonings was, you know, how selfish they were being in terms of, you know, look at the amount of work that guys like Dominique Foxworth and Jeff Saturday have done. I combined Jeff Foxworthy.
Right. Jeff Foxworthy. Yeah. Right. See, you do what I do now.
I did. Right. I turned it to Fred. But Foxworth and Saturday have been there almost every day throughout this process, whenever the players have been a part of the meetings and the negotiating. And Mankins and Jackson, sure, they put their reputations on the line to, you know, to be part of the, as named as plaintiffs, but they haven't been there. I think Jackson was there one day.
Right.
In Minneapolis, I want to say, but one of those in the Midwest, he was there for one day. Mankins, to my knowledge, hasn't been there at all. And now they're going to sit there and they're going to put their own needs ahead of everybody else. Now, this is Florio talking. I don't really know. This might be course of action in this kind of stuff. These class action suits that have guys, individuals named on, and that might be a very common thing in the legal circles. I don't know enough about it, but this is what Florio was saying. Right. Very selfish on the part and a big misstep by D. Smith and Kessler. He was really killing Kessler.
Who's also the NBA players?
To not know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
To not ensure that they wouldn't have guys on that as plaintiffs that were interested in individual needs.
Right.
You know, in other words, not necessarily acting on behalf of the NFLPA.
Right.
Just acting on the behalf of Logan Mankins and Vincent Jackson.
Hmm. Michael Silver tweeted out that the Patriots and Chargers should just trade the guys and then sign each of them to long-term contracts. So the Patriots would get Vincent Jackson, Chargers would get Mankins and sign them to long-term contracts, and end of story.
But that's assuming that the Patriots would want to sign a two-time DUI offender to a long-term contract. I'm not sure they would.
Yeah.
Maybe they would. And we talked about this all last year, you know, the whole Mankins-Jackson swap. I wouldn't do that. And I think Vincent Jackson's a very good wide receiver, and I think in a lot of ways he would fit a need.
Right. He'd certainly fill a need on the field.
Yes, he would. Yeah.
A lot of off-field
stuff.
But
I agree with you, Paul. I don't see that being something attractive.
The Patriots generally like to have those kinds of guys on one-way contracts.
Right.
You know, my way.
Right.
And, you know, short money, very easily. You know, you can rip the bottom out of it very easy. Long-term deal doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Well, I'll be interested if this thing gets done, to find out the new rules, because there's going to be a lot of new rules.
Yeah.
And some have already been rumored that you can only franchise a guy once. So, like, for example, in the case of Peyton Manning, he's already been franchised. So in somebody like him, you wouldn't be able to do him twice.
With the same team.
Now, I have a
question.
There
would be a lessening of the OTAs.
I have a question can we take them individually?
Sure.
Because you guys, I think, have read a little bit more about some of these, some of the minutiae. You can only be franchised once. Now, does that count guys who've already been franchised?
Well, they said it might be going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Manning
right,
can still be franchised.
Manning could be. Right.
Unless he... You know, like they're saying with this Jackson and Mankins thing, unless that's part of the precedent
for...
Unless
that's part of his settlement.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, so that's one rule that could take place. Like I said, the other rule could be a lessening of the OTAs.
Yeah.
The number I saw was 33% fewer helmeted practices, and they wouldn't be able to take place till after May 1st.
Right. I've also read that you couldn't have two... padded double, you know, sessions in a day. So in other words, double sessions go away. You could have a padded session and then a walkthrough with shells, but you couldn't have two sessions with pads. But you know, these are all rumored to be rules. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, because they're still going back and forth.
It's still not a done deal.
Yeah.
Let's keep that out there too. It's still not a done deal yet.
Yeah. Revenue sharing is different. I've heard that, you know, teams won't get as much for revenue sharing. So this is, remember we were talking about earlier, you know, the owners and owners have to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they did, and there isn't going to be as much revenue sharing as there was
before.
So the
smaller market teams won't necessarily benefit as much as they did in the previous
CBA. That's right.
So, you know what it sounds like to me, more so than they got their stuff together, is that they realized that we have more than 24 on our side.
Yes.
And they've just sort of moved on.
That's a good point. So to Paul's point, you probably, if that's true, and again, we don't know, but if that's true, you will see some no votes to this deal. Because if that's true, the small market teams will be hurt if they're not getting as much revenue.
So they can feel comfortable voting no because they know that there are enough votes to be yes. So they're making their statement. So,
but you could also... It could quicken, you know, moves, relocations, and sales of team. Who knows? You know, maybe a Ralph Wilson says, you know what? I've had enough. You know, I can't move to Toronto fast enough, and I'm getting old. I'm going to sell the team. You know, I'm just using his as an example. I have no inside knowledge here. Or Wayne Weaver, you know. Maybe he won, or Minnesota, if they don't get that stadium thing passed, and that's not a done deal.
Something tells me, though, that Minnesota will get their stadium, and that they won't move. They won't be the team that moves to Los Angeles. I don't know why, but that my feeling is that they're going to get theirs done. I also think, you know, San Francisco is another team that's been begging for a stadium in Santa Clara, and I think they're going to get theirs done too. It looks like there's momentum for that. So
yep.
I think The teams,
but there's also San Diego.
There's right. Know? There's a handful of teams that I think are legitimate candidates for LA. The Raiders are one. The Chargers are one. People have brought up the Rams, but I don't see them moving back to.
Well, the Rams had to come out and deny rumors that they were
considering
looking at
it.
That.
Yeah. And I think the Jaguars, Wayne Weaver, you just mentioned. I think those few teams, I think, are the ones that are legitimate candidates to go.
And
there.
You always hear stuff about the Buccaneers that Glazers aren't really having a good time money wise down there, and that they might actually be losing money because of Manchester United, and they're going to have to choose between one or the other. So you never know where that LA team could come from. It could come from where you don't expect it. So that's on the table, and that's a lot of money. If you can relocate your team to LA, I'm sure it's going to be raining Benjamins for whoever moves out there.
Absolutely.
You know,
think St. Louis is a chance?
I do. Even though they denied it, I do.
Yeah, I think they are too.
Yeah. So,
I wouldn't totally rule it out, Paul. I just think my gut is telling me that they're not going to be the team that ends up going back.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you on the Minnesota one. I think that's a total power play. I think Minnesota is sort of getting themselves out there in the mix to be relocated to. They don't want to go. They don't want to leave Minnesota. But the Rams. St. Louis has had problems. They had problems with the Cardinals. They've had problems with the Rams. They're having problems sustaining that franchise. Jacksonville, obvious. And then the two California teams, to me, obvious. Oakland and San Diego. San Francisco, I'm with Eric. I think they probably get a stadium in that Santa Clara deal done. But San Diego, they've had some really good teams, consistently good teams now.
Yes.
And they can't generate interest down there.
Right.
It's a terrible stadium, and they don't sell it out.
Right.
So at some point, you got to do something different.
Yeah. All right. So lots to discuss. We got a lot of emails coming in. Just so everyone knows, I can't eat lunch today.
Yeah, why not?
I'm having a tube shoved up my rear end tomorrow.
Oh, so you have to fast?
I'm having a colonoscopy. So
you're in fasting mode?
I'm in fasting mode.
When did that begin?
Right now.
When was the last time you ate anything?
I could eat breakfast.
Okay.
But I can't eat lunch.
Right.
I can't eat dinner. I have
just
to have
water?
A liquid. And then I have to drink this stuff tonight, like 4 liters of this stuff. That
looks like Gatorade but smells like something else?
Yeah.
It taste like Gatorade.
Yeah, and apparently I'm going to be on the toilet for the rest of the night. So.
Well, now you know what Andy Hart feels like.
Right. But he does that every day.
Right. That's what I mean.
And then tomorrow morning, I have the procedure. So,
oh boy!
Well, according to Paul, it's very pleasurable.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh yeah. Dear God!
So I might get the tube's number before I leave.
Oh.
Anyway,
how was your summer of Fred Friday in Narragansett?
It was beautiful.
Did you go to Narragansett?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Narragansett Beach?
Yes, Town Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Crowded, even on a Friday.
I told you, didn't I?
But
tell you?
Well worth it. The water clear,
yep.
Warm.
People surfing?
Yeah.
There were some surfers, right?
Yep. A lot of surfing. I did my body surfing. It was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Anyway, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398.
It's if you want to call us. There, Paul.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Everybody's going to want to get in their 2 cents. I have to leave at 1.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I don't know. Something got canceled.
Oh.
But I am going to have to take a break and deal with it at some point. So, anyway, webradiopatriots.com, 508.
Is this your running stream of consciousness while we're on the air?
298-0398. Andy's not here. The summer of Andy ends today.
Yes, it does.
This is the last summer of Andy.
Much like
day.
The lockout.
So, he'll be back.
And we don't have to vote on that, right?
No. Well, we could vote and have him relocate. Maybe he could relocate to L.A.
I'd be in favor of that.
Do you see Andy living in L.A.? Just miserable all the
time. Well,
how's
that different from now?
No, it's true.
Just he'd be on the other coast making those people miserable.
He'd be more miserable in New York City.
Right.
Because at least in L.A. the weather would be nice all the time. In New York City, he'd deal with the same seasons that we do.
Yeah.
So he'd be miserable with all those people. He hates people.
Yeah.
He hates everybody.
The man of the people actually hates people.
The man of the people hates people.
Right.
It's one of those, you know, untold stories.
Mm-hmm. Other than CBA, any other news that we need to put on the table before we get to emails?
A little interesting note, not necessarily news, but an interesting note. Urban Meyer, former Florida coach, was
right.
on with our friend Chris Price from WEEI.com yep. yesterday and was talking about the Patriots, obviously, and his former player, Jermaine Cunningham, and he thinks he could be the next great pass rushing thing for this team. And I wasn't too surprised by that, seeing how that was his former coach speaking and that he's friends with the current head coach of this team. And,
no, but the interesting element of the story that Chris wrote was that, you know, it was when they had Derek Harvey yep. and Carlos Dunlap
mm-hmm.
and Cunningham and Bill down there, you know, on his trips with Urban Meyer to see his boy, he kept saying, who's this guy? Who's
right.
this guy? To
right.
Cunningham. Cunningham was the one that caught Bill's eye.
Right.
So Bill had an affection immediately for Cunningham, long before he drafted him, because when Derek Harvey was there, that was early in Cunningham's career.
Right.
So I thought that was the interesting element, is that Bill, this was the guy Bill targeted from
isn't
the start.
That, isn't that the kind of
matter
way
of fact, he thought, Urban Meyer said that Bill thought he was better than I thought he was.
Isn't that kind of the way they came across Eugene Wilson? Like they were there to scout somebody else, and Eugene Wilson caught their eye? I thought...
That sounds familiar.
They targeted Wilson very early.
Yeah. So, all right, let's take a quick break,
uh-oh.
And we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time.
with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about. But there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
And if you want to say hello to the guys here on PFW, you have several ways to do that. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Phone line's wide open. We got plenty of them today, Paul. Don't worry. Fred's going to come back for more stories. He's just taking care of that aforementioned business that he said needed his attention. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address.
I'm not worried.
I know.
I'm enjoying lunch.
Oh, I'm talking about our listeners.
From James, I assume?
I would assume. The other Kevin, the good Kevin, is behind the booth today with Rachel. Who's lunch on today?
James.
Is it James, the most interesting fan in the world?
Yeah, he's usually our Tuesday buyer, so we'll go with James.
You don't even know?
There's a lot of confusion. Okay.
Oh, okay. You might want to boost your levels a little bit.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. A little bit better. Do you guys have the Facebook page open up, too? People have been sending us stuff there. You know the thing that the other Kevin is obsessed with all
the
time? Yeah,
I became a member, so we'll get it up.
Okay. All well, right. you can reach us that way, too.
Right. All right.
But assuming, Paulie, that the lockout stuff doesn't
I made no assumptions today at all, Eric, because I with Kevin not here, Kevin Collins.
The other Kevin.
I just assumed
Kevin.
That, you know, the end of the world was
right
upon us and that we wouldn't even be on the air.
Right. Thank God he tweeted from wherever he is that
don't know how we got
12
years
today
of shows in before he started working here.
I don't know. By the way, I just want to say she's on TV right now, the Alex Morgan from the U.S. women's soccer team.
She's cute.
Very cute. She's right
the other one?
You. Which one? Hope Solo?
Ridiculously overrated.
Hope?
She's a man, baby.
Alex Morgan, very cute, though. But all right, so assuming Thursday or end of the week, let's just say, the deal gets done, the timeline that we're kind of hearing about for the resumption of activities, business activities, Monday for the signing of your own team's free agents, possibly, and then total unrestricted free agency starting next Thursday, week from this Thursday, with training camps maybe a few days after that, end of July, early August.
That's what it sounds like.
At this point, if that's when the deal is going to get done, I's dotted, T's crossed, everyone ratified, everybody happy.
I'm still trying to figure that out, by the way.
What?
How they're going to dot all the I's and cross all the T's in such a short period of time. But,
that would lend me to believe that a lot of this has already been worked out and has already been.
But if it hasn't been agreed upon, then you know what I'm saying?
Well, but I think that's why you have your representatives. You have your player reps who speak for the rest of the team. If they all agree on it, then they go to the rank and file and say, this is what we've agreed to. We think this is the good thing. And I think if you're not in the executive level as a player, if you're just one of the rank and file, I think you have to take your representative's word for what it is because they're the ones who have all the details.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just bringing that up as a point, kind of runs contradictory to what we've been told the last month or so about how long it could take to get the litigation cleared up and whatnot, even after an agreement is made. Doesn't seem like it's going to take very long. It seems like if this gets all taken care of by the end of this week, which is what they're saying now, Thursday,
mm-hmm.
Teams probably are going to be able to contact their players immediately. Friday, Saturday.
Right, and to let them know when they need to start.
And the league year is going to start probably Monday. So you wonder what's going to take so long that they were talking about a month ago. But it's a good thing that it's not.
No, you're right.
Get it done. And free agency, it looks like the one of the timelines that I saw had all training camps starting August 1st. And that's a couple of days later than most.
Which would stand to reason that the Hall of Fame game would be out.
They're still talking about playing that.
I mean,
though. I don't know.
I don't see why you need to.
Yeah, well, it's for the Hall of Fame, I would think. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but I don't know. If they're so worried about player safety and these guys are just coming in after a couple of days and you want them to scrimmage at an all-out level, I don't know if that's the safest thing from a player's perspective. So that's going to have to be part of this whole agreement, whether or not they're going to play that game, I would think. Because if I'm a player, you know, granted you've been keeping in shape all offseason, but football shape is a different thing than just regular physical shape. And if these guys aren't ready,
believe me, I know. As they've been
game shape is
they've been pounding
different.
That point home for the last couple of months about all the injuries that we're going to get and all that. You know, no one's going to be ready to play because there's a difference between NFL shape. Just remember that every hamstring from here on in will be a lockup.
Am I sensing sarcasm in your voice, Paul?
No, that's fact. Every hamstring pull that happens from here on out will be because of the lockout.
No, I'm saying
every dropped pass that happens from here on out will be because of the lockout. Every missed block, missed tackle will be because of the lockout.
That's how it will be reported, but you don't necessarily agree that that's...
No. No. These things happen. These things always happen every year in camp. Right?
Yes.
There'll be 15 to 20 guys who were not ready to start training camp because they didn't pass the conditioning run.
Mm-hmm. Is that really usually that many?
Absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it ever.
We don't know
that
it's because they didn't pass the conditioning run.
No, but... So on the, they usually have, so out of 80 guys, there's usually about,
There are 15 to 20 guys who will not be ready to start training camp. Many of those will be because they didn't pass the conditioning run.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's about right. Because you have guys who start the year on a list.
Or generally, the PUP guys
aren't
pass,
on a list, but didn't show up for practice.
PUP guys didn't pass the conditioning run.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and you're right. That's going to be the easy way out for a lot of media is to say, oh, well, they started late. They're not in shape. So, obviously injuries are going to be up on the rise. But, how many people are actually going to do their homework and go back, like you said, and say, well, in 2010, this is what the numbers were.
This is why I'm saying it's not even sarcasm. That's what's going to happen. Don't you think that's a fact? That's what
I think they'll take the easy way out. Yes, I think they will take the easy way out because they usually do.
It'll be sarcasm in the form of how it's reported.
Mm-hmm.
Another lockout casualty. Some poor guy will go down with a torn ACL and they'll blame it on the lockout. Right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that is going to be the case.
Now, listen, am I saying that the lockout will have no impact on injuries? No. I'm sure there will be guys that aren't in shape. That's just, what's that, like 1,900 players in the league?
1,900 is the number, yeah.
Okay, you give 1,900 guys their own agendas, there's bound to be a handful of those guys who are not mature enough to handle that, and they won't be ready. So there'll be guys that do pull hamstrings because they weren't in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there'll be a lot of guys getting hurt, and they'll all be lumped into one category. Fred's back.
Sort of. He's not really on the mic yet. But so we'll. How about we take some emails, Paul? We got a lot of emails.
Sure.
Webradio@patriots.com, as we mentioned before, 508-298-0398, or 50-SNOWMAN-29-SNOWMAN-039-SNOWMAN, as Fred has said on occasion. Who are we going to go to first here? Hang on one second, Paulie, while I pull this up. Somebody had a game for us, which I wanted to play.
Can you just read an email?
I'm trying to get to it. Sorry.
Really? I mean, let's go.
All right, that's it. I'm jumping in here.
All right. We've stalled long enough for Fred.
I can't believe this is how the show goes when I'm
it's
not,
not
here.
How it goes when
I,
you're not here.
I've actually seen it for
it
myself.
Is. It is, Fred. It's
and
exactly
I, and
what
I apologize.
When you're not here, Fred, the wheels come off.
It's a lot of Eric going, okay,
You do that all the time when you have to read an email.
Yeah, but
so
I
don't
do it,
even get
I do it differently. I do it more ESPN-ish. You do it more NPR-ish. You know? You
kind of hard to argue with that.
You actually can sense like the urgency in my tone.
I don't ever sense urgency in your tone.
Your tone is like you have nothing better to do than listen to me. So as long as it takes me to find this email,
it's perfect.
Too bad, because you know.
Well, isn't that why people are listening? They don't have anything better to do.
I guess so. All right, let's. So have you read any emails yet?
No, not yet.
All right, so let's do a quick one.
Okay, he's just complaining about me doing that.
You want any certain topic that you want me to read an email from?
There was a game.
We had no topic.
You had no topic.
No, somebody had a game, though.
We were spiraling aimlessly.
Well, Zach from Syracuse has some thoughts. One of his is, why not push back the season a few weeks depending on when the CBA is ratified? That way the quality of football isn't harmed. The free agent period can be extended and no revenue is lost. What do you think about that? Moving the whole season back a couple weeks. I see, no.
But then they'd have to condense, like the plan that they talked about a while ago, where they would take out the bye weeks. They were condensed. There was one week, I think, where every game was a division game or something like that, so that they could squeeze three weeks out of it and still get all 16 games in.
Yeah, I don't think that...
What revenue is going to be lost?
Well, they say rather than canceling a couple games.
Yeah, they're not going to cancel anything.
No, but I think that's what his, you know, if the problem is they don't have enough time for free agency and time to get ready, you either, and if that really is a problem, you either push the season back like the emailer said or delay the season and cancel a couple games.
Yeah, I would rather have a couple of shoddy games in September
than
games in the middle to late January.
Right.
And then get the playoffs in February.
Yep. They're going to have time to sign players. You know, teams are going to have to act quick, and it probably will. Those guys that are free agents probably hurts them because they can't play the system, you know, as well as they would if they had more time. So they're going to get the short end of it. Yeah, but
Drew Rosenhaus made the comment that it will be the most wild whatever, hectic two-week period in NFL history.
And we said that before.
And he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. There's going to be the most frenzied period that we've ever seen in terms of draft pick signing, undrafted free agent signing with teams, teams re-signing their own free agents, obviously free agents going elsewhere, trades. There's at least two or three major trades. Kevin Cobb will probably get dealt.
Yep.
Donovan McNabb will probably get dealt. There's a chance that guys like Chad Ochocinco, Steve Smith, where does Plaxico Burress go? There's some major players that are going to change teams.
And you think it's, I mean, it's
and it's possible. All going to happen in 2 weeks.
Well, some of, I mean, I think more likely the argument about free agents is valid, that there won't be as many high deals. But potentially, if it comes down to one of those guys that is really coveted and time is running out before the start of camp, that you could see a bidding war where all of a sudden the price gets escalated because teams know, well, we have to get this guy. We have to settle our roster.
Right. For some, yep.
For the highest profile guys, I'm saying.
Yep.
Not for all of them. But.
Right. It could happen that way. The other thought that Zachary had is on a Patriots pass rusher. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Belichick is extremely picky with outside linebackers. They have to be at least 6'3", if not taller. They need to be able to rush the passer, stop the run, drop back in coverage. They need to be able to play out of a 4-3 or a 3-4. They need to be intelligent and have good situational awareness. They need to be reasonably durable. They can't be head cases. I don't think the money is the issue. If he thinks the player fits all those qualifications, look at Roosevelt Colvin and Dalis Thomas. But both the draft and free agency really lack players who fit those ideals. And his thinking is, why spend the money when he already has linebackers who, at the very least, are familiar with the system and are not remotely expensive? Say what you will about all of our linebackers, they're all low-risk investments because they cost so little. Similar requirements hold for defensive ends. Obviously, we really don't have anyone who fits that mold anymore. So based on the size of our linemen, Belichick is committed to at least stopping the run, which we seem to do pretty well. Unless I missed my mark on the free agents available, I think the bet is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Well, I'm a little confused with the email because It seemed Zach seemed to take two different courses. I totally agreed with his original premise of Bill expects a lot out of the outside linebacker, and it's hard to find a guy who can do all those different things. That I am completely on board with. Then he made a comment, it's not about money, and then went on to say, I think he sticks with the guys because they're low risk and they're low money. Well, is it about money or not? Because you can't make an argument to me that Roosevelt Colburn and Adalys Thomas are the only two guys in the last 10 years that fit that qualification.
Well, I think his...
I didn't like Clay Matthews. Right. I'm not going to try to be a fraud and say that I said they should have drafted him. I didn't like him coming out of college, but he fits that profile.
Right. And I think Zachary's saying if he meets all those things, he'll pay for them. But if he doesn't, then he's not going to overspend. He's not going to ever overspend.
But again, what's overspending?
Was
drafting Clay Matthews in the second round overspending?
Yeah, you know, that's a good
point.
And
again, that's just one guy that I'm just coming up because he happens to be the highest profile guy. And in Zach's defense, it's an easy target for guys like me to counter that because he's been so successful.
And that could
There's a lot of guys that can rush the passer and do all those different things
in that case,
didn't necessarily have to be DeMarcus Ware.
Right, but in that case, maybe a couple of those criteria that Zach listed, the Patriots didn't believe Clay Matthews could do, like stop the run for one. You know?
Set the edge.
And do you
believe that, though?
I don't know. I mean, there has to be a reason why they chose not to draft him. You know, maybe
they obviously didn't value him.
Yeah.
Properly.
Maybe they thought he was a one-season wonder in college, you know?
No, but whatever the reason they did it, they were wrong. It was a misevaluation.
Sure.
Much like, again, in fairness, it was a misevaluation for PFW.
Sure.
We were all with the Patriots.
That happens.
These things happen. Again, I'm not trying to be 20/20 hindsight, but I was wrong, and the Patriots were too.
Yep. Absolutely,
because they didn't. If they didn't think he could do those things or was worth that pick, they were wrong.
Right,
because
he can do those things.
Right,
he's proven he can do those.
Which makes Urban Meyer's comments about Cunningham even more interesting. That Bill going down to Florida on the frequent occasions that he does, spying Cunningham, who wasn't the star of that defense at all while he was.
And who knows what those other guys are going to be? So far, Derek Harvey has been pretty much a bust.
And who
in Jacksonville, and the other kid had a nice rookie year, Dunlap.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, and who knows what Clay Matthews would have done his first year here?
Great question.
You know, you don't know. Like,
great question.
If they would have kept more of a leash on him than let him just go run upfield on every play.
Well, that's not what he does. He doesn't just run. But I'm just saying, that's part of my misevaluation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He isn't just a one-trick pony. At least he wasn't last year.
Right.
Now, I have my other questions. about
the program,
late development,
right?
But I was wrong. I can't.
A lot of throat clearing going on.
I can't just say, well, yeah, but I didn't think he could do this, but he's this and that. No, I was wrong. I thought he couldn't do things that so far in his NFL career he's done.
Let's see. Let's go to the phones. Chris with the TIANs on the line. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
All right, gentlemen, what's going on?
Oh, we're just getting ready. We're hoping that things happen and football resumes on Thursday.
Me too. I can't wait. I had a question for you. I don't know if you'll be able to answer it, but I was kind of thinking about this the other day. After the free agency frenzy gets done and the undrafted guys get signed and the drafted guys get signed and they finally start getting into camp and stuff and doing all that, how do you think Bill's going to approach the preseason? You know, like how typically you'd see the starters play the third preseason game, like well into the third quarter. Will there be like a shift now? Will the starters maybe play like the first two games, and then he'll look at the rookies in the next two games? Or how do you think all that will play out?
It's a good point.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. I would think that every minute in training camp might be a little bit more precious this time because you didn't have those mini camps to do evaluations.
Yeah.
And you might say, you know what? We don't have time. We don't have time to see what these guys can do. We just got to get ready.
Although I see that point, Fred, although I might be inclined to think that Bill, being the creature of habit that he is and that most football coaches are and that most football players are, I tend to think he might want to keep training camp as similar as possible as it has been to previous years. Just so that there isn't any sort of disruption to what the players are normally used to. Maybe they've been through enough disruption already this offseason. Let's at least give them something that they know, that they can count on, that they've done before, and you know, the formula that they use for playing starters, playing rookies, playing younger players. So it's a great question, Christian, and yeah. I think it's difficult to give you a definitive answer, but I think it could go either way. I think Fred's point is accurate and could apply, and I think just the opposite could be true.
I mean, you know, you won't have the tape that you would have had for mini camps on these guys. So yeah. are you really going to take reps away from veterans in training camp to get that tape?
Well, but here's my argument on that. You know, and I made this point last week on the show, you know who your starters are going to be, who your 22 are basically going to be,
right?
Give or take a few positions. So I don't think it's as important to give guys like Brady or Welker, Mayo on defense, guys like that. I don't think they need as much game time preparation as you do the younger guys or the inexperienced players who do need to prove what they can do so that Bill knows what he's got for
them. Yeah, but I see. I think that there's a reason why every training camp the Bradys get all the reps, because they do need to prepare for the season just as much as a younger guy needs to prepare for the season. It's a different type of preparation.
I mean, terminology and stuff is for the younger guys and getting down a plane, but I think more for like the Bradys and the Welkers, it's more just getting back into that timing.
Right, but you can't do it by hoping. You can't do it by thinking about it. You got to get out there and do it. I think what we might see is a lot of split squad, where you know how like they'll take all the young guys and put them on the other side of the field. Maybe you'll see more of those opportunity practices afterwards.
Well, that was one of the things in the agreement that they were trying to get rid of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they wanted to reduce the number of opportunity practices from the report we saw the other day.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so okay.
For the whole player safety issue, yeah. They wanted
here's a little bit just, you know, not necessarily germane to this specific topic that Christian brought up, but Adam Schefter just tweeted out, well, not just, about a half hour ago. He said, Vincent Jackson wants the $10 million settlement, but Logan Mankins and his agent Frank Bauer have not requested any financial settlement so far.
Okay.
So maybe there's a little bit of a difference between those two.
Right.
I don't know if that's been updated. That was about 30 minutes ago. I'm just kind of scrolling through as I'm listening to you guys talk.
Maybe. Well, I hope they don't hold up the deal.
Well, this would be a good – thanks, Christian. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you, Christian.
This would be a good time for the Patriots to swoop in and sign Mankins to a long-term deal. You know?
Any time would be a good time for that, Fred. That's been too long festering, I think. He's been the good soldier. He's never missed a game as far as injury-wise, you know, aside from his holdout last year. He's always been there every practice. There's not much more you can ask from a guy like that. He's proven it. He's gone to his Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
He's a great guy off the field.
Yeah.
You know, they had their disagreements on the contract last year, but that happens with any great player. I mean, you know, I'm sure there was some of that with Brady with his contract. You know, they didn't get that done right away. That took a little while to get done. So,
yeah,
I think it's more than past time to get Mankins wrapped up. And I think he'd be agreeable to that. I don't think he's completely shut the door on coming back here. Do you think that Mankins has shut the door on coming back
Absolutely
here?
Absolutely not. Nope. I think there's still a chance.
I don't.
Hyder from Ontario writes
I don't think
in,
there's a chance.
You don't think there's a chance? Okay.
No, I don't think there's a chance they would offer him.
I do. Hello, PFW guys. Here's a random question before this lockout is officially done and real football news starts. If Bill could only keep one of his assistant coaches and all the rest had to leave, which coach would you want him to keep?
Well, that's a good question.
I already know my answer.
Dante?
Bill O'Brien.
Mine's Bill O'Brien, too. Because I feel Bill Belichick is the defensive guy, and then you could have your offensive guy in Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
If you can only have one,
yeah.
You know?
Can make an argument for Patricia, Dante, and O'Brien, in my opinion.
I'd go with Dante, just because.
You go with because of the experience.
He's, the experience.
Yeah.
He's also the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
He's got that title for a reason. I think he's.
Yeah, I think Dante could probably do anything.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
a good one too. Yep. Absolutely.
If you needed him to coach defense, I'm sure he would do it. And I think
Dante would be a fine pick. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's see. Mike in Pensacola says, as it looks like the lockout's near an end, how do you think the team will resolve Mankins? Well, we've been talking about this. If Mankins indeed receives $10 million to settle his part in the lawsuit, would this make the team more likely to elect to keep the franchise tag on him assuming it is in the CBA, and not feel as pressured to give him a long-term deal as he will be making around $20 million with the franchise salary. Also, who is the one guy on the team out of these three players that you feel is most likely to not be on the team this year due to cap reasons? Jonathan Wilhite, Tully cannot play, or I hate to say it, James Sanders.
Tully.
Tully, he's got the biggest contract of those guys. If it's for cap reasons only.
Wilhite
makes nothing.
Right.
Well, he did sign an extension. He got a little bit of a bump in pay, but not nearly as much as Tully's made.
Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be any cap problems.
No.
I don't either.
At all. I don't think anyone will be get let go because of cap reasons. So it's kind of a moot point. I think this might be the little contest you were talking about, the little game. Nathan from California.
That is the one.
You got to select either bank on it, it's going to happen, likely, not likely, or impossible.
All right, four
ready?
Choices.
Yep. Bank on it, likely, not likely, or impossible.
Okay.
First one, Buffalo finally breaks their losing streak with the Patriots next year.
Not likely.
Not likely.
Not likely. Jets sweep the Pats next year.
Not likely.
Not likely.
Patriots sweep the Dolphins.
What's the first one?
Bank on it.
Bank on it.
Okay. I say likely.
I say likely as well.
So it's bank on it, likely, not likely, impossible?
Impossible, right.
Yeah. Bank on it.
Patriots win the division.
Bank on it.
I say likely.
Likely.
Yeah.
The Jets are a good team now.
That's why I'm, you know.
I think the Jets are a good team. Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm just saying.
Patriots earn a first round bye for the playoffs.
Likely.
So second best record in the AFC.
Or first.
At least the second best.
Likely.
Yeah, all right. I'll go with likely.
Okay. Patriots win a playoff game.
Likely.
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 Yeah.
Sign a free agent wide receiver to help us stretch the field.
Not likely.
Likely.
And finally,
any free agent. Doesn't have to be a big name guy, you said. Just free agent.
To help you stretch the field.
Specifically to help you stretch the field.
Yeah, I'll say likely.
So Darnell Jenkins doesn't qualify.
No.
They'll sign
somebody. Somebody's from another team.
They'll sign someone like that that we don't know.
Finally,
but they're not going to sign Sidney Rice.
Finally, they'll sign an edge rusher.
Not likely.
Not likely.
Okay.
I mean, that's the position they need the most, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Wait a minute. Likely, if you count my boy Matt Roth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an edge rusher. It's somebody.
I love Matt Roth.
David from Portland, Maine says, I have no doubt that Logan Mankins is stubborn enough to hold up the NFL season in order to gain free agency. How about, these things keep popping up. How about the following scenario? League grants
gets mad at me,
Logan free agency, and the Patriots receive a compensatory pick at the end of the first round in the 2012 draft. Ditto for Vincent Jackson in San Diego. Everybody wins.
The compensatory picks don't start till the third round.
Yeah, obviously he's going.
This would be a new thing.
An unprecedented thing. Right. But, yeah, no, I don't think that would happen.
No. Let's see. Derek from University of Arizona chimes in. Haven't written or called in a few weeks. I have been on vacation. I visited Massachusetts and Myrtle Beach. Good for you. Excited to come home with news that the lockout is finally coming to a close, we hope. I have downloaded all and listened to the majority of the podcast the past couple weeks. My question now is, I have read that the Patriots will be under the salary cap. Is that accurate? Do you guys know by how much, and what does that mean for them attracting any kind of free agents? Thanks for reading the email, and I hope you guys are all doing well.
No idea.
I don't know if the Patriots are going to be in any better cap position than any other team. I just don't know.
No, I don't think the cap is going to be an issue for really anybody. I just don't.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's very hard to determine that when the Patriots don't really have a roster yet. You know, do you include Matt Light? Do you include Kevin Falk?
Right.
Do you include the draft picks? I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to get added.
What are they going to do with Mankins?
Does Mankins count for $10 million? Does he sign an extension? Does he go somewhere else? But I agree with Fred. I wouldn't anticipate the cap being a problem for the Patriots.
All right. We're going to have to take a break. It's 12:55. I unfortunately will not be able to be here for the rest of the
week.
What
are you doing?
I have to go to this stupid
You said you
meeting.
Didn't have to.
Now I have to go.
You
lied. See, I'm doing this show.
Oh, you lied.
I'm multitasking. While the show's going on, all this other stuff's happening.
No, we could tell. You're very distracted.
Is this related to the season at all?
No.
Oh.
Nothing to do with the season.
All right.
You were very distracted today, Freddie.
The season has nothing to do with this meeting that I'm about to attend. But
does it have to do with your colonoscopy?
No. I wish you well. I hope that you don't let the show fall apart, Eric.
We won't do what Andy did last week or 2 weeks ago.
You have a few minutes during the commercial to get your thoughts together.
All right.
And do all that. But I will be here Thursday. I won't be out anymore.
Okay.
No more shows missed. So.
All right.
All right, Paul.
I'm taking tomorrow off.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email. guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault.
It's you. That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking about. You're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
As Cosmo Kramer once said, Paul, we lost the fat man and we're running lean. Fat man in this case being Fred, not you.
Yeah, it's okay, because usually you say that when I leave.
I don't usually say that. Well, yeah, actually we do say that. I shouldn't say that, because Andy wouldn't quote Seinfeld, because he doesn't know what it is.
Well, it started with He Who Shall Not Be Named, who,
yes,
for all of his faults, was a terrific Seinfeld fan. He knew every line from every episode.
He did. He did. That was one of the few things he actually did know, unlike football.
And as I have said many times, he was truly funny. He was a funny guy, and he used to insert Seinfeld lines at very opportune times.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of emails, Paul, about free agency questions. Webradio at patriots.com is that email address. Facebook page is operational as well if you want to hit us up over there. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. We're going to go to that now. Sean in Salt Lake. What's up, buddy? What do you got for us?
I was wondering if you could tell me how much cap room, if the $123 million is correct, what they're going to use for a cap, how New England's sitting.
Yeah, it's $120 million.
Is what they're looking
at. Is the cap. But as we just talked about, the Patriots haven't signed their draft picks. We don't know about their pending free agents. We don't know about Logan Mankins' situation. You know, it's virtually impossible to tell you what their cap situation is right now.
But, the number, Sean, the last cap year, 2009, I think the year started 123, and then it sort of fluctuated up to about 128.
Well, it was going to be 128 in 2010.
Yeah.
But it ended up being an uncapped year.
Right. So the number actually is going down. The number that people keep throwing out there in this discussion, though, is the extra 20 to 21 million,
$21 million in benefits, which,
but nobody actually says what those benefits are, whether they're medical benefits, retirement benefits, pension, that kind of. They're not specific as to what those.
Yeah, I don't really care what they are, because I don't really. I think the players are taking that one. They're losing on that one.
I kind of agree with you there, but it's just funny how now, like in the past, whenever you hear
Clay Matthews picking off a pass, the one trick pony.
Yeah. Whenever you'd hear talk about the cap, there was never any mention about the extra benefit money. Now all of a sudden that's important. And have you noticed that, Paul?
The benefits?
Yeah, that's whenever they talk about the $120 million, it's always followed by,
got to make sure
we throw in that number.
Yeah, I think it's still a little early for these kinds of determinations, but I think the owners are winning this in a landslide.
And I kind of think we
all thought that was probably going to be the case.
That's what was going to be the case, but.
And one other question for you guys.
Sure.
I can't even remember how to pronounce his name. Asamoah, the Raiders?
Yeah, Nnamdi Asamoah. Mm-hmm.
I saw the piece that you guys did on Patriots.com, but I saw his numbers the other night, and it was like 200 and some odd tackles and 11 interceptions. I really don't watch Raider games. Is he as good as everybody makes him out to be?
He's either if he's not the best, he's number two behind Revis. He is absolutely exceptional.
And I see what you're saying, though.
Go and watch, and you could probably find this, Sean. And go on NFL Network's website. I don't want to guarantee this, but I'm guessing you can find this. And watch he was one of the top 100 players. I'm not exactly sure where he finished, probably somewhere in the teens.
Yeah.
Find his player profile and listen to the stats that they use in the voiceover about the amount of times that passes were completed on his man last year. I think it was fewer than 10 passes completed to his man last year.
And last
he's that
question,
good.
I'll let you guys go. With Tolley Bannacane, it seems like we pay him an outrageous amount. Do you think Bill will cut him and go get somebody who can actually do their job?
I think that he is a candidate to get cut, yes. But they have to sign some guys.
They would have
some
to get some, yeah, because they right
now. They
need
some players at that position. They don't have them right now.
Yeah, I just wrote my linebacker preview, as much of it as I could, for our training camp preview issue, which is going to be coming up hopefully soon. And I was assigned linebackers. And looking at the roster, they have exactly four legitimate outside linebackers, if you include Markell Carter, who was just drafted.
Right.
So if they get rid of Bantikane.
Ninkovich, Cunningham, Bantikane, and Carter.
Yeah.
Well, plus Eric Moore.
Well, I kind of throw him as
I'm just talking about on the roster. I don't know what he's going to be. He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I kind of count him as one of those hybrid defensive end outside linebacker types. I'm talking about true, just that's all they do is play outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Those
well,
four
that's
guys.
What he's going to be. He's, you know,
well,
when they play with him.
My thought with him is, don't we pay him like $6 million a year?
Yeah, he's grossly overpaid.
He's got a lot of money.
You're right on that one, Sean. He's a candidate to go.
We need linebackers. I have no issue paying $6 million for a linebacker.
Right.
But how about we go spend $6 million on somebody who does more than third down?
No, you're right. Listen, I don't know exactly what his cap number is going to be this year. I don't have the chart in front of me. But he signed a pretty lucrative free agent deal to stay here last offseason and didn't do a whole lot. And by the end of the year, you're right. He was a situational player, and he wasn't playing a whole lot, and he was a disappointment. And it's unfortunate because, from a personal side, he's one of our favorites.
He talks to us all the time.
Gregarious guy.
Yep.
He's great personality, and he has played well at times.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, he had 10.5 sacks.
Right.
Now I know he wasn't a great, you know, as Andy likes to put it. He wasn't a 10-sack guy, even though he had 10 sacks. I agree with that. But he is a good player. Hey. Wow.
I would love to have
Hall of Famers walking in left and right. So he is a guy who has played well in the past, but you're right, Sean. He did not play very well last year.
I mean, I would love to have an 8-sack guy. Not a guy who gets 5 sacks against Buffalo when you're up 35 points.
Well, to be fair,
a guy to get 8 sacks when we need him.
Yeah, just
to be fair, Sean, a lot of the guys who get
inflated sack totals
get them against one team. Even the Julius Peppers of the world tend to get pile up a lot of sacks against one team.
And generally, sacks come when you have a big lead and you have teams in a one-dimensional desperate situation. So a lot of teams do that. Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis are very good at that.
Right.
That's why the Colts are one of those great front-running teams. They don't blow a lot of leads because their defense becomes much, much more dangerous when they have a lead and they dictate how you have to play.
Anything else, Sean?
I would love us to have, you know, a guy who can get 3 or 4 sacks, say, against New York in the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Thank you so much.
All right, Sean. Thanks, Sean, for the call, buddy.
Eric.
Yes, sir.
The man's in the house. My former colleague.
I like to refer
to Steve Nelson as my former colleague.
Nelly, how's it going?
Good.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Of course, no stranger to our fans. Steve Nelson in the house, Patriots Hall of Famer, old number 57.
Now, yeah, I was
17
say,
career interceptions, right, Steve?
That's right, and that really surprised you, didn't it, Paul? That
stunned me.
Now, Steve, are you
way back when in that stupid?
I guess that
stupid
like
shed
facts.
That we used to do the EEI show in.
You're a faithful subscriber to PFW. Are
absolutely.
You not? Have you seen the latest issue with the numbers feature that Paul?
I have. I have.
Now, was 57 well represented?
It was.
And you made it.
It was.
Okay. You made it.
I made it.
Okay.
Steve Kiner. I beat Steve Kiner out.
Hey, listen, I can't control who the other guys are that wear the numbers.
That's right.
It's all about personal relationships with me.
You had a couple tough ones though. 52 was tough.
There were a lot of tough ones.
Johnny Rembert.
Yeah.
There were a lot of tough ones. You know, like 12, you know, I don't know. Matt Kavanaugh, Tom Brady.
Tough.
You know, I had to go back and forth on that one a little bit.
I thought Kavanaugh was 6.
No, he was 12. He was 6 in
Ramsey was
San
12.
Francisco.
Oh, okay, that's right.
But Steve
Brady's
is here.
Got more rings than Matt does.
We're going to pepper you with all kinds of
stuff.
Lockout kind of questions. Because I'm really interested to how a player would be treating this kind of an offseason, even though you didn't really experience something like this. No one has.
Well,
You had in-season strikes.
In-season, 87, last time the players, you know, was
last
a
time we
strike.
Missed games.
Yes.
Before I get to that, I want you to explain why you're here today, because
He needs no explanation. He's a Hall of Famer. He can come in. You're welcome on the show anytime.
We have an event coming up, Eric, that I'd like him to discuss.
Besides coming and visiting
you. Mr. Wet Blanket over here.
You guys, you know, I haven't seen you for a while, so I'd like to catch up with you. But
I'm sure that's why.
He came to thank you for putting his number 57 on the list.
August 23rd, we're having an event for Mosi Tutupu, who was my teammate and just a great football player, a great teammate.
Fan favorite, too.
Yes, he was. He was so popular with the fans. And on 23rd at the stadium here, we're going to have a comedy night. It's our second annual. Last year was obviously our first one, and we have Lenny Clark and Steve Sweeney, Paul Narduzzi, Paul D'Angelo, a bunch of great comedians, and it's just a real fun night. And to remember mostly
Dizzy, D'Angelo, Scalavino.
Yeah. Well, I did do stand up at one point.
You got all the kiddies out there on stage.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. As Paul,
it didn't work out then, huh?
I chose not to let it work out.
Okay. But those are funny.
The word
guys, right?
Failed, and I never repaired the same sentence with Eric.
I chose a different career path. I went into journalism.
How's that working out?
not so well.
Probably should have stayed in what I was doing.
Not so well.
I don't think so. But anyways, I just really want to get the word out, and it's $55 per ticket. You can go on the Patriot website to buy your tickets, and it's really a great night, and football's starting to happen right now. Hopefully by the end of the week we'll have something concrete as far as the CBA, and you know, people start thinking about football again. Training camp opens, and it's a really nice night. A lot of players will be there, ex-players. We had a lot of current players last year, old Red Sox, old Bruins, and just a really fun night, and I hope you can make it.
Do you get up there and tell any jokes, do anything like that?
Well, I have some Swedish jokes. I do. I'm Norwegian, and I do have kind of a program that I
wry sense of humor.
Well, for instance,
Norwegians really kill the Swedes.
Well, on July 4th, you know, there's a big deal between Norway and Sweden. They line up on the border, and the Swedes
this is going to be good.
The Swedes throw firecrackers at the Norwegians. And then the Norwegians pick them up, light them, and throw them back.
Rim shot. There we go. It's all about Ty.
Very good.
Ming.
Very good. I like it. So what was it like, Nelly, because you were part of two strikes, right?
Well, actually, I was part of three strikes.
Oh, that's
my rookie year.
Yeah, 1974.
When they were fighting for freedom.
Freedom!
Ironic.
Follow me to freedom.
of course, as a rookie, you know,
So that went pretty well, by the way. You were fighting for free agency in 1974. And you got it in 93.
Well, 14 years later, we're fighting for it again. But anyways, as a rookie, all you do is really want to play, and you don't want to make waves. So, you know, the veterans obviously had committed to the strike, and you felt really awkward. They weren't in camp, so which really was a break for us. You know, young players, because we had a chance to take all the reps and learn defenses and stuff like that. So looking back, that was very beneficial to young players. My last year, 87, was actually when we lost four games during the course of the season. And that was the longest month of my life. You know, I knew it was going to be my last year. And I was really torn between, you know, being a good teammate or, you know, sticking up for the union or playing, because it was going to be my last year. I knew it was going to be my last year. I wanted to play and get it all out of my system. So it was very difficult, Paul. It was very funny time in my life.
What was it like? Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. I might be confusing some of these these labor strife situations, but wasn't that the one that the so-called quarterback club sort of came into being with guys like Jim Kelly and Boomer? And
well, I was a linebacker, so I wasn't invited.
But they kind of took care of themselves a little bit, and made, you know, they all, you know, Elway, they all got the huge contracts, and then just decided, okay, we've been taken care of, and they kind of, you know, led the ball rolling to come back and play, and kind of left everybody else out.
Gave everyone else
in
the
shaft, cold. Yeah,
you know what you're saying?
It sounds like a good story. I just don't remember it. I don't remember. It could have happened.
No,
I can't believe.
Of course, Nelly was just worried about the end of his pending retirement.
Well, that
I was my
that
party.
That is a good point, though. You do bring up a good
I wanted
point,
a rocking
though,
chair.
Because a lot of the discussion around this particular disagreement has been about benefits for retired players. Now, as a player who was on the border of being at the end of his career and at the beginning of retirement, I don't remember because I didn't really pay attention to that much as a kid. How much of the discussion centered around, benefits for retired players back when you were involved in those, and how much that's changed now to where it's become such a front burner issue.
Well, I was a rep back in the 70s, and that was an issue with us, pre-59ers at the time. And really, the guys who made the league, the Johnny Unitases, and who was the face of the NFL. And I think it really is popular. I think it's popular among fans. I think, you know, current players really don't really care, to tell you the truth. I think the owners really, you know, have fond memories of the past and everything else, so they have some vested interest. But I don't really think, you know, retired players and their issues are a big deal in the CBA. It's about the current players. It's about, you know, the length of the free agency. It's about their benefits. It's about length of schedule and all these different things that they have to agree upon. And I think the kind of last things that are resolved are, you know, the ex-players.
But doesn't it crush your mind, especially when you get towards the end, when you're in your double-digit accrued years? I'm going to be one of those guys someday. I should start looking out for my best interest and teammates' best interest, who are also in that age range.
You know, it should, but I think you have such a mindset that you're young, you're, you know, invincible. You know, retirement is so far off. You know, disability is so far off. You know, all the things you have to really deal with you get older, you really don't think about. And I don't think retirement's a big deal for active players. I know it isn't. But it really is a shame when some of these great players, you know, the Herb Adderleys and the Johnny Unitases, get paid what they get paid for retirement. It's
John Mackey just passed away.
Yep.
I think I read something. He had about $2,500 a month was his pension, or something ridiculously low like that.
Oh, that I would be surprised he got that much, Paul.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is, you're talking about one of the greatest players in the history of the league.
Yeah, one of the two best tight ends ever play.
And obviously suffered badly from dementia late in his life, his last 10 years of his life. And, you know, I can certainly understand why, you know, the Carl Ellers of the world now are fighting so hard on behalf of that, because that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have situations like this in a game like this that clearly now we're learning more and more every year about the damage that playing football can
do. And the cumulative effects
and we're fortunate.
What seemed like minor injuries at the time,
right,
especially the head injuries.
Well, that's really come to the forefront the last five years. You know, with Nowitzki and his group at BU and stuff, and I think there's been a real effort by the NFL to address that and to look at it, and as also the players' union. But 10 years ago, that wasn't
no one
issue.
Thought about it. Yeah, it was, and that's understandable. It's not, I don't think this is one of those situations where you just want to beat up on the NFL for not taking care of its own. You know, you're right. You're learning more and more about it, and you adjust when you as you get the information. You need to adjust to it, and hopefully that will happen. And hopefully they will have provisions where that's not going to happen moving forward. I don't think it's something you could just snap your fingers at and fix. You can't right all the wrongs with one CBA. But I think you can make steps to sort of make sure that things like that don't happen again. And we're lucky, Eric, because the guys that we know, all the alums that we know, Nelly, you know, Pete Brock, Tip, obviously, mm-hmm. we're here with all
yep.
the time.
Grogan.
John Hanna.
Yep.
You guys are all in great shape. You know, but I mean, you look around
relative
at some of these.
Who?
Well, to a lot of your contemporaries. I mean, a lot of guys that you guys played with.
Oh,
and I know,
yes,
and
absolutely.
I know you've had your health stuff too, Nelly. I'm not saying, you know,
right.
that you, geez, you were scot free from playing right. 15 years and you came away with nothing. No, you guys all, I mean, we watch Hannah walk and, you know,
right.
it hurts.
Right.
It hurts to watch Hoggy walk around. But compared to some of these other guys
absolutely.
That are, you know, like I said, the brain stuff and.
Yep.
I mean, this
very sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And does that scare you when you hear all this new research? You mentioned BU and the study that they're
right.
involved in with the NFL. Does it scare you when you think back to maybe some of the hits you took or delivered that maybe back then was called getting your bell rung? Maybe
right.
it was a lot more than getting your bell rung. Does it sort of at least creep into your mind that down the road sometime maybe you'll have to deal with some of the stuff that some of these older players have had? Recently,
I think when they define what a concussion is, you know, and like you said, is it getting your bell rung? Well, that happened to me, you know, 10 times a year for every year I played.
That was my next question. How many
concussions
would you estimate?
I got knocked out cold once, you know, where I was, you know, I was wheeled off the field and I was, you know, unconscious and then woke up in the training room. But I, you know, I don't know how they define concussions, but yeah, they make that definition. I look back and say, yeah, I remember every training camp, you know, because training camps are much different when I played than they are now too, because, you know, it's, the game has changed so much.
A lot longer.
It was a lot, and it was all hitting. Yeah. Because they, you know, the coaches had to find out the players who wanted to play, and, you know, now it's a year-round job, and back when I played, you really had 3 or 4 months off after the last season, at last game. So, it's different, but yeah, I think once I kind of understand how they grade concussions, it'll be a time where I, you know, just think and ponder but you know, knock on wood, I'm all right so far.
That's take good. The opportunity though, give us a call, talk to Nelly right now. We don't have a lot of guests on our show.
Do you have time for the rest of the hour?
Sure.
Can you hang with us till 2 o'clock?
Absolutely. He's making time.
Okay.
He's making time.
Didn't want to assume, way, Paul.
Was Fred here before?
He was.
Eric's stuff, though. But
oh, that's Eric's stuff?
He moved.
Yeah. I had to move because Fred was...
Fred had to go to a meeting.
He was distracted the whole first hour of the show. Yeah. He wasn't even listening. Well, he doesn't listen to us anyway.
He doesn't listen to me anyway.
But less so than usual this time around.
Give us a call. Send us an email. A Buffalo Bills fan?
Wasn't
no, Broncos.
Broncos. Broncos.
Broncos.
He was a Jets fan.
He says
Jets
no.
Fan. He was a Broncos fan. It's easier to name the teams he didn't
go
root
back
for
through time.
Growing up.
Is
in
it
all
based
sports.
On quarterbacks? Or based
oh,
on head
based
coaches?
On where he lived at the
here's
time.
How it
based
goes.
On players. Oh, it's
very simple, Nelly. Go back through time and think back all the different sports to what the best team was. That was the team he was a fan of. In the late 60s, he loved the Mets and the Jets. 1969,
yeah.
I looked.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Jets and the Mets. I wonder why.
He had the Elway T-shirt that was three sizes too small. That was
he had an Elway. If Elway wore number
sides.
17 instead of 7, the 1 would have been under one pit.
That's right.
The 7 would have been under the other.
As it was, the 7 took up pretty much the entire body. But all right, we're going to get to a few
emails. Definitely send some emails in to Nelly if you have some questions.
Yep.
And give us a call. One of the most approachable, I'm just mild-mannered guys that you'll ever meet, and I'm not just saying that because I did a radio show with him for many years. Steve Nelson is one of the nicest men I've ever met in any walk of life, not just football.
I second it.
Take the opportunity to ask a guy that has played the game at a high level anything you want to ask him, because he will answer it. No pressure.
Right. Let's go to Cody's email. Cody in Nova Scotia. Subject line, all caps. Please read for once with exclamation points. Because, you know, Fred is...
We could skip that then.
Fred usually doesn't like to read emails that don't come in during the show. That's
Fred
sort of
also
like
doesn't
an unofficial
like,
policy.
Fred also doesn't like to have them dictate them what he has to do.
Right.
Don't tell me what I'm going to read.
Right. Guys, really just wanted to get you to talk about a couple of low price tag free agent outside linebackers. I've been hearing about two from the 49ers that might be a good fit. I must have written it a million times and never hear any online. I listen every week, and I really am just itching for some football. Living in Canada, the CFL isn't anything compared to the NFL. But just wanted to say hey and hopefully get a couple of games in, because I know that's probably the only way I'll get this on the air. Well, it worked.
Who are his guys?
We like to play games, too, on the show. We email or send us things that we have to sort of
like
guessing games, over-unders, that kind of thing. So we'll have a little bit of that. Here's the game first. Keep or cut?
Keep or cut?
Keep or cut.
Nelly, you have to play.
Okay.
Jermaine Cunningham or Tully Bantakane?
Cunningham.
Cunningham, I'll go with. I mean, he's the younger guy, less expensive, there's more potential. We know what you're getting from Bantakane, so we're in agreement there. Darius Butler or Jonathan Wilhite? That's a tougher one.
I'm going to say Butler.
Butler can
to
play
what?
More positions, can't he? Is he more...
I would keep Butler, but yeah, it's a tough one. Neither one of them has really solidified himself as a consistent player.
No. I will go with Butler because I think what Nelly said, he's a little more versatile.
I think Wilhite is strictly an inside guy.
Yeah.
I think Butler can play
inside.
Butler
can play inside
or
out, and
but
less injury,
hasn't played either one of them
teams,
very well.
Yeah, special teams, less injury prone. I'll go with Butler. I think this is a little bit of an easier one. Jared Page or Brandon McGowan, safeties.
Jared
I'm going to go with Page.
Me too.
Just on the limited.
I think I like McGowan, though. I think he's a hitter.
He is a very physical player.
Yeah, and he plays tight ends. You know,
he did.
Kind of
like
Rodney Harrison
did. 2 years ago?
You know?
That's a good point.
But
2 years ago, he was very effective.
The reason I'm a little hesitant with him is because he seemed to disappear after that.
Yeah.
He had that great stretch in the beginning of the, what was it, 09 season?
Well, he's a guy,
where he
I
was
think.
Covering all the tight ends that they put him on, and there were great level tight ends. Then he sort of disappeared.
Yeah, injuries. He's a guy, he's a guy that throughout his career has had injury problems, and watching the way he plays, you can see why.
Well, he's a little undersized for the way he plays.
Yes. And I think I have a similar fear for Patrick Chung. because he's not a big guy and he really and he throws himself out there.
You know, the prime example is Bob Sanders. He just wasn't big enough to play or try to play the way he played.
Do you remember our...
Steve Fall River? how can you forget? Every Sunday.
Oh,
Bob Sanders was the greatest thing since ice cream.
Let me tell you who the Patriots should have drafted.
Bob Sanders.
Who would you rather have? Jabbar Gaffney or Bob Sanders?
Oh, my God.
Most miserable guy on the planet.
Speaking of that,
more miserable than Andy Hart.
Cody has a which would you rather have, Gerard Warren or Marcus Stroud? Well,
6'1", half dozen the other.
Yeah, and I know what we're getting with Warren because we had him last year. I don't know what we're getting with Stroud.
You just sold me, Warren.
I don't know. What do you say now?
Yeah, the only thing that interests, Stroud was a great player at one time. So maybe if he comes with a good team and he has his role and everything else, he could be a good player.
At his best, Stroud was a better player.
And one more, which would you rather have, Randy Moss or Ocho Cinco?
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah,
Ocho
Cinco. At this point, I would go with Ocho,
yeah.
I think, too. Yeah.
Nelly, do you have time to tell the Don Nottingham story?
Oh, you got a story?
The really cold day in Foxborough.
Without anything underneath his shoulder
story.
Pads.
I think the fans
will
like
that. It was a cold December day at Foxborough Stadium.
How cold was it?
It might have been Sullivan Stadium or Schaefer Stadium. I don't know.
Take your pick.
But
I'm pretty sure it was Schaefer at the
we
time.
We played the Miami Dolphins. They had a fullback named Don Nottingham. And at that time, fullbacks were, you know, a position was of great value to a team. And he's a tough little guy. You know, he's like a human bowling ball. He's 5'10", 5'11", 230, 235. I think he played at Texas Tech. Well, he's a tough guy.
And you knew you were going to be banging heads with him throughout the day.
Yeah.
As the inside linebacker.
Right. And he came out pregame warm-ups, and it was a cold day, and he had nothing under his shoulder pads, bare skin exposed, and, you know, he was running around, and I said, oh, geez, it's going to be a long day. This guy's a tough guy. He went in and came out, and he had, like, four layers of sweatshirts underneath his shoulder pads. He had found that. So he didn't hit quite as hard then.
And as Nelly said, I knew I had him.
Yep.
He came out with sweatshirts, and I knew we won.
That's before we get to the back to the phones, I wanted to ask you that. That's something we talk about a lot on game days, on cold days. We're up in the press box. We look out at warm-ups, and there are guys like, you know, Wes Welker, just for an example, running around out there with sleeveless on a frigid cold day. And the idea is you want to intimidate the other team to think, oh, he's a tough guy. How much of that really affects an opponent?
Not much, really. You know, I think it's, when I played, if you go back and look at old films, you'll see players, linebackers especially, with more pads on their hands and arms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now you know they play without pads, basically. But on a cold day, you know, we didn't have the new type of undergarments you can wear,
Yeah, like the Under Armour and that kind of
Nike's
stuff.
Nike's got a great product. Yep. You know, that those type of things that are so, you know, fit tight your body.
Yep.
You know, we had the old, you know, like baseball, you know.
Just like a turtleneck and
like
cotton sleeves. And
got wet, it all curl up on you and freeze and everything else. And so I think, you know, if we had that opportunity to wear those type of shirts like the Under Armour product, we would probably wear them. But, yeah. Because the guys didn't play because
you mentioned seeing the guy and you're thinking, wow, he's a tough guy. He's coming out there without the sleeves. Like, I wonder how much that actually does affect.
Oh, it does.
You know, the guy you're going against.
You know, because if your pads are on directly on your body, you know, it just fits better and you can deliver a bigger blow. When you have three or four layers underneath your shoulder pads, obviously it's a little
cushion.
You don't
feel it as much.
And yeah.
Have you ever been to Toronto?
Toronto, I think I have been. I have been, and a couple years ago, because I went fishing north of Toronto. We went into a town where the famous hockey player lived, and it was a nickel mining town.
Brantford, Ontario?
I don't think it's Brantford.
Because that's where Gretzky is from, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Same hometown as Nick Kasher.
Well, let's ask Steve in Toronto. He's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve,
Hello?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. This is Eric.
Yeah,
yes,
Eric, Nelly, and Paul Perillo.
First thing I want to say is I'm really excited that Steve Nelson's on the show.
So are we.
I was a big fan of his back in the 70s.
Oh, thank you.
With I'm trying to think of his other linemates. McGrew.
Larry McGrew.
Yeah.
A lot of good linebackers.
You
Clayton Weisoon.
Early on, you had Sam Hunt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
and Zabel, Rod Schott.
Rod Schott. Donnie Blackman's a great player.
And then when Tip came course, in with yeah. Rembrandt and, yep. and Tip yep. and
there were some great
Blackman,
linebackers in that
Larry
era.
McGrew, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I always thought that there was with Donnie Blackman and Mr. Nelson and Lawrence McGrew and Tip. Hunt was sometimes in there, sometimes not, but I thought you guys had the four best linebackers in the league.
Yeah, a lot of people shared that opinion. A lot of people. That you were like a 3-4 defense before 3-4 defenses were really in vogue.
You know,
right?
We were one of the first 3-4 defenses. I think the Houston Oilers back, and we became 3-4 defenses in 74. And then it really was exclusive. You know, Carroll went at it, that elephant position, which yeah. is mm-hmm. basically a 3-4. And, you know, Belichick, the 3-4 guy. So and Parcells obviously was too.
And Fairbanks took it from college, right?
Yeah.
He took it from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what else is on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about, I'm one of the guys that writes in and I think I'm the one that chastised Paul last week about being a homer.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. Him.
Can you
I can't
him.
See you how you can do that.
How many times, you yelled at
he
me?
He is the opposite.
I know that, but it was very entertaining that Paul's actually complaining about being chastised as being a homer.
I was giddy. I was giddy about that.
One of the reasons I disagree with Paul all the time is because he's so knowledgeable.
That is true. That is true.
Anyway.
right now, Nelly's nodding his head in agreement right now.
And modest, too. He's the most modest
right,
guy.
Right. No, I do remember the call, and I was almost giddy that someone actually called me a homer. Because I figured I was doing something
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're Mr.
Negative. I get bashed for being negative, and now I get bashed for being a homer. So I'm probably somewhere in the middle where I belong as a
right.
supposed impartial journalist.
Intentional.
That was unintentional?
Yeah, it was
yeah,
unintentional.
No, I'm aware of that.
But I wanted to bring up Cunningham because I know the jury's still out on him, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But everybody seems to be forgetting that he had a terrible rookie season. Like rookie pre-draft, whatever you want to call it. He was hurt.
You mean in the combine? You mean the pre-combine process?
Yes. He didn't even go to the combine, and he had a terrible pro day in Florida. He couldn't finish his 40 time one time, and he fell on the other one. And he was coming back from the injury that he suffered late in the year in Florida.
I want to say one thing. I want to interrupt you. I finished all my 40s. Oftentimes it's very slow, but I always finish them. I never fell down.
Oh, you know what? I actually bailed out once, too, because I played here. I played here in McMaster, completely different level, but I played in McMaster, and I was running my 40 time first day of camp, and I got back spasms in the middle of it.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Well, I think, Steve, your point about Cunningham, I think expectations were set maybe a little unfairly high for him for a couple of reasons. A, the fact that he was a second-round pick from a school where he wasn't even considered universally as the best player at his position. A lot of
Hello?
People thought Carlos Dunlap was the guy yeah. and that the Patriots should have gone
yeah.
after him.
I agree with that, but what I'm trying to say is that I think he spent basically all of last year recovering.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't see the burst from him that
there's a possibility of that.
Have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% healthy all year.
He got injured in the preseason too, don't forget.
He did. Yep.
And you know, forgetting about what he came back from Florida in the preseason during camp, he suffered a leg injury and missed some time. He didn't play at all in the preseason games. So, yeah, there was definite probably a lack of explosion there
sure,
for an edge rusher.
You know, Paul, I think you're really going to see a difference.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
You know, young players especially, and he's 20 years old last year. He was very young, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's a young guy.
He's going to mature physically, and, you know, just from the first to second year is the biggest amount of improvement a player makes because he understands the system. He's kind of walked through and figured out all the mistakes he does as a rookie. And
right.
So now he can, you know, concentrate on his position. Oftentimes there's a contract that has to be settled. And it's the first time these players are being paid, you know, publicly, you know. And so
what
you know,
what
the
USC?
That whole experience is kind of, is a lot for a younger player. And so I think he'll be, you know, much better frame of mind now.
How much more difficult will it
Dunlap
be?
Dunlap had a problem, too, didn't he? A lot of off-field
well, he
problems.
He had an off-field problem coming
off-field
out.
Issues.
Yeah, he had problems at Florida. He got
suspended. He had a lot of problems at Florida.
He got suspended, yeah. Which is why a lot of teams sort of passed on him, and not surprisingly, the Bengals took him. Because yeah. that's the home for Waywood. So it used to be Oakland. Everybody drafted those guys.
Cincinnati.
Now it's Cincinnati. Yeah. But just curious in your thoughts, Nelly, on just how difficult this process will be for these young guys, rookies especially, coming in without the benefit of anything all spring.
I think it's going to be. I think if you're a coach right now and, you know, if this is your first shot at being a coach, like it is around for 6 or 7 teams,
I don't envy
it's
going to
be terribly difficult. I think if you're a team that has a quarterback issue like the Vikings or like the 49ers or somebody, I think it's going to be really put them back. It's going to be a difficult year for younger players.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be interesting too, because a lot of franchises, you know, they got their, you know, the quarterback of their dreams and everything else, and you know, quarterbacks. I think, you know, four of them went in the first 8 or 9 players.
Well, yeah, you know, 12.
Typically, you know, guys who are drafted surprising high
too.
Play.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be a real interesting thing for the, you know, guys like the Panthers and the Titans and teams like that.
Well, it's a great segue. You mentioned the Panthers. Dan in Virginia writes in, guys, I was just curious about what you'd be willing to offer in exchange for Steve Smith of the Panthers, assuming his monster contract could be reworked to be more team friendly. Don't you think he's the type of player that could be very productive in the Pats offense? His physical stature matches that of the typical Patriot receiver, but unlike other receivers on the Pats roster, he has excellent downfield playmaking ability, and you know the guy's hungry for a championship.
I love him as a player, but I think the Patriots have players like him. You know, I don't think he's that really downfield.
He's not
first.
As unique. You don't?
No,
think?
I
don't think he has that anymore.
No, I don't think he does. But you know, he's a great returner. I mean, he does a lot of things to help you win. But
I would love to see him play with a guy like Brady, because I don't think he's ever had the benefit of playing with a really good quarterback.
Oh, you're right about that.
You know, even when, you know, those couple of years there, that
when Delhomme was kind of
played pretty well, yeah. He never had anything like Brady.
Yeah, I'd be concerned like a little bit with his off.
He's so competitive. I love his compete.
He's a little
level.
Guy though.
He is. Yeah, he's not a big guy. He's not a tall, traditional outside guy.
Sidney Rice, I would. That's the guy. That's
Sidney
the
Rice. I think would be perfect.
Yeah.
But I think he'll cost a lot of money.
I'd be concerned with Steve Smith's anger management issues too. He's had his problems off the field with his own teammates a lot of times, and I'd be a little bit worried about bringing that element into the locker room.
Right.
Yeah, I think
how much is it frustration though? You know,
that's what I think. I think he's such a competitive guy. He's just tired of it.
I tell you, he's a tough little.
I would take him in a heartbeat. Probably maybe a second or third round pick. You could get him for something along that line. But the contract is an issue, and Carolina's got to want to deal him. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what the situation is there. I'm sure that he wants out. I know that because, you know, he doesn't want any part of sitting around waiting for Jimmy Clausen or Cam Newton to develop. I mean, he's getting toward the end now. So by the time those guys are ready to be viable playoff quarterbacks, he's probably going to be done. So he wants out.
Right.
But I'm not sure that there's a fit there.
All right, back to the phone. Sam Houston is on the line. Or is it Sam from Houston?
Yeah, I'm from Houston.
Okay.
There you go.
I was going to say, good job liberating Texas, but that was a long time ago.
How you guys doing today?
Good. What's good on your mind?
First of all, hello to one of the great ones. Say,
good oh, day. Thanks.
How you doing, Sam?
How you doing? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You knew that was coming.
You, the one that actually played in between the lines.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
My question is this. Okay, I already know about Tully Benacane and what he hasn't done, and that's of last year. If he does get cut, who do you think would be a decent replacement for him? Is Manny Lawson one of the ones that's going to be as a free agent when everything is said and done? If so, I thought he would be one of the ones that fit the mold, and he played in a system similar to ours. If he could take up the role that Tully Benacane
played with Tully, actually.
He did play with Tully for a little while, too. That's right. I think he'd be a possibility. The name that I'm a little bit more intrigued with is Mathias Kiwanuka. I know he's had a little bit of his
I wouldn't mind seeing
health
him. I wouldn't mind taking a shot on him.
I would more like to take a shot on him.
You know my guy.
Yeah, Matt Roth, right.
Matt Roth.
Oh, Lord.
Don't know why.
The well-traveled
Matt
Roth.
Why he ends up on waivers every other year, but I like Matt Roth.
You know, the one guy that I was reading some article, and they brought up Edwards from Minnesota.
Ray Edwards.
He's opposite Allen, and Allen might have got more attention.
Yeah,
but
he's a better player than these guys that we're talking about, but I don't know if he could play but standing up as an outside linebacker.
What are you going to ask him to do? What is, you know, the thing?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if Tully Bandicane is a three-down linebacker anymore.
No, I would have to say no.
Certainly wasn't last year toward the end of the year.
Right.
Sam, my concern at this point with talking about cutting outside linebackers is that they just don't have enough bodies to cut anybody. They need bodies out there, A, to fill the spots, B, to compete for the jobs. They're not, you know, last summer I was getting worried when they were getting rid of Pierre Woods, even though, you know, Pierre wasn't the greatest player ever to come through here. He was a body who knew the system and had started on occasion, and they were just getting rid of guys. And yeah. I was saying, who are you going to field? Who are you going to put out there?
You know what always surprises me was players who were down 3 points during college, and all of a sudden they asked to play 2 point, go from defensive end to an outside linebacker. And you say, well, the guy always has hand on the ground. He doesn't understand, didn't see what you see when you're, when you're in a 2 point stance.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see the players that make that transition, and the guys who never had a drop in college, they can make the drop. Really secure an edge. And like a Brewski, he plays a down lineman in college.
Yeah.
Now the transformation to inside linebacker. You say, well, that's such a difference, but it really isn't. I mean, these guys are so athletic now that they can go from a 3 point to a 2 point, inside to outside. Drop if they have to if they're a primary pass rusher, but still can drop. And Andre is a lot like that. Andre was he did what he and the coaches were smart enough to say this guy's a dynamic rusher, edge rusher. Let's let him do that.
Right.
But he had a lot of drops also, and he was very good in coverage.
You mentioned the Brewski example. There was a lesser example last year with Dane Fletcher, the undrafted rookie from Montana State, who was a 1AA defensive end, who moved to inside linebacker, and during training camp won several words of praise from Bill Belichick early on, which was rare, A, that it was a rookie getting praised, and B, a rookie making a position switch.
He actually made a couple of great tackles this year, too.
Yeah. He made some plays, yeah.
Yeah, but Nelly's right. That transformation from defensive lineman to inside linebacker has got to be infinitely harder than the outside guy. Defensive end
you're sort of in
to
that,
an outside linebacker right. is kind of doing a lot of the same things.
Mm. Right.
It's from a different perspective, as Nelly explained.
And all the action is from your point to the ball.
And there's parts where you're asked to go backwards in dropping coverage and whatnot, but your perspective, as you point out, is similar.
Yeah.
You're setting the edge against the run. You're probably coming off the edge as a pass rusher occasionally. Yeah, you're doing it from a two-point stance instead of a three-point stance, and there are times where you're asked to do a little bit more than you would be. Dwight Freeney's not asked to drop in coverage very often.
Well, no.
As an example.
Right.
But, again, how often are you asking those guys to do that? The truly great ones.
Yeah, I think they look at body
types. DeMarcus Ware and Omar aren't dropping back in the coverage too often.
No, yeah, I mean, he can do it, but you don't ask him to do that a whole lot.
Yeah, that'd be bad coaching to ask a guy like Ware or Tip to, be in, man coverage or to drop in
the
zone.
That's part of my frustration with the whole edge rusher and how this, in my opinion, their biggest weakness hasn't been addressed. I understand how hard Bill thinks it is to find those guys, and there are certain requirements that he needs at that guy. But at some point, don't you lower your standards a little bit and get an athlete like you're talking about, Steve, and just say, okay, let's go in here. You're raw. You can do this. We know you can do this. We'll teach you how to do some of the other things. Enough to make you a viable option, rather than continuing to go with the Tully Bandicanes of the world, who, you got in the seventh round, and you're hoping that they turn into some development prospect. But I think time has proven he's not an every-down guy.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to have an every-down guy, give me Ray Edwards and say, I don't know if he's going to be able to drop in coverage as an outside linebacker, but I do know that 8, 10, 12 times on third down and long, he's going to be able to get the edge and put some heat on the passer.
Sam, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah. I just got one more thing. This is my quick bit, and I'll let you guys go. I think our two needs are, honestly, a taller receiver because we got pushed around in the playoffs. And I don't think it's necessarily just the outside linebacker. I really wish we would have got a dominant 3-4 inch because, to me, when we had pressure on the quarterback, we did it with the Seymour and the whole Warren and all those guys. Of course, I know we don't have a Seymour. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. I mean, that's They don't have yeah. 3-4. I mean, Ty Warren's coming back. And
thanks for the call, Sam.
He can be what Ty Warren, or a reasonable facsimile of what Ty Warren was before the injury. But they haven't replaced Seymour going on 3 years. This is the third season now. Mike Wright is a nice player who maximizes his ability. He's a little undersized, 295, 300 for that spot.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you some sacks. He can do some different things. But I don't think you want to live and die for 16 games, three downs, with Mike Wright as your defensive end in the 3-4. I think you're going to get run on occasionally with him there. I think he's a little light for that spot.
Right. Yep.
I don't think that's
Seymour,
ideal. Seymour's a special player.
He was a special player. And I think to have a guy, a two-gap potential that Seymour had really sets the defense. And I think that's what the Giants had when they had Leonard Marshall, the defensive end. You know, they had a lot of good players around, Harry Carson and LT and all those guys. But to have a guy that can, you know, two-gap an offensive tackle is so critical. And there's not a lot of guys like that. So when you get a guy like Seymour, boy, it's special. And I think he went to school, and he went to Georgia, I know that. But mm-hmm. I think Stroud was his
yep.
teammate.
They were first-round picks the same year,
yep.
too.
That's can you right. imagine trying to line up, you know, if you're the opposing team, and looking at those guys, and what's going to work? And
I remember we used to
the
joke.
The SEC, they get some pretty good players.
We used to joke about how badly coached they must have been to not have won more games.
Oh, yeah, they had that.
Boss Bailey, I believe, was in the secondary. Champ Bailey was in their secondary at the time.
Boss was a linebacker there.
Yeah, Hines Ward was kicking around. They had some immense talent.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't win, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, those teams at that level, they all go like 7-4, 8-3.
Yeah, you're talking about championships.
I'm talking about contending for titles.
Right, right. Before we go back to the phones, another Sam writes in, Sam in Chicago. Hey, guys, to build on all the outside linebacker talk and at this point lack of talent at the position, do you think Bill has some financial formula regarding his team's strengths and weaknesses? So the priority is protection for the QB, as we saw in the draft, and figure that he could build on his safeties slash corners for the defense as well. Any extra cash he may use to re-sign Mankins and pick up a stud receiver, but that's where the money ends. So my question is, with a certain amount to spend on the team, you have to pick and choose where to build and make do with the rest? And it appears that the, quote, rest is the need at pass rusher, so Bill hopes he has a solid defensive secondary and an offense that will wax any lack of pass rush. Thanks for keeping it alive, Sam in Chicago. Interesting question.
I don't think that,
but
Bill
I don't
looks,
think he looks at it financially.
I don't think he looks at it that way. I mean, certainly finances come into play with all your personnel decisions, but I don't think he
but
says
not to that, not,
my number one
my,
priority for my money is offensive line. If so, why is Logan Mankin still, you know, wavering? He's been the most effective pass protector for Tom Brady throughout the last 6 years, and he can't get the contract. So if not him, who?
Right.
You know, I think one of the great reasons why Belichick is so successful is his ability to adapt. And, you know, he's a defensive guy. He wants to win on defense, but he understands what he has in Brady. And the thing you got to do is protect Brady. You got to protect him. Mm-hmm. And I think defense, because of that and because of the personnel you have, you know, you can't have the best player at every position. Edge rusher, you really need one. But, you know, I think when you're looking at Brady and why the team wins, and, you know, you have to protect Brady.
Are you surprised, though, Steve, that, I mean, everybody outside of Bill and his staff seem to think that that position in particular is a must-have for this team?
Edge rusher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in his type of defense. It's what's been lacking over the last few years. There's been that consistent threat to get to the quarterback, and not necessarily sacks, but just to get pressure, to disrupt the timing of the other quarterback. This past draft, most observers thought it was not only was outside linebacker the deepest in the draft, but it might have been the deepest that it has been in
right.
several years, and he didn't take anybody until the sixth round. Did that surprise you? Because it certainly surprised
yeah,
me
yeah.
and a lot of people like
Eric,
me.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I think that he wants a veteran to come in here, and I would be surprised if he doesn't pick up somebody now. With
so you think he'll take somebody? Really?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I think he understands that, you know, there's the clock ticking, and you know, with Brady and, you know, a lot of the, you know, a few other players, Matt Light, who I, you know, it's going to be interesting at that tackle position what they do. You know, I think they keep Matt around, by the way, but I think they think
long term or for another just for another
I
year.
I think for 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know how you can put Brady's health in the hands of a player who's never took a snap, no matter how big he is or good he is.
They did it with Matt Light, though, when he was a rookie. They threw him in at left tackle.
Yeah, but Brady wasn't Brady then.
Yeah, it is a little different.
It's a good point.
So, matter of fact, it was Drew.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Brady was Drew.
Brady was Drew.
They obviously didn't care because they didn't put a priority on protecting the quarterback in those days.
And he started running that one Sunday afternoon.
Just kidding.
The rest is history. But I think they've got to get somebody that can really put some pressure.
I would agree that they will get someone. My question is how much of an impact will that someone have? Will it be, as my joke is always, a Matt Roth sort of middling jag, or will they go out and pick up somebody that can...
Like the Raider they had that didn't work out.
Derek Burgess.
Yeah, I think he was, the type of guy, he had big numbers one year, whatever reason he cooled off.
If they went out and did something like that, I would be impressed. Now, it didn't work.
It didn't work, no.
He didn't pan out, but that was a guy with talent who had made an impact in the league previously. They took a shot, it didn't work.
Yeah. As good as Von Miller looks, I mean, he looks great. But he still hasn't, played against, tight ends that are going to chip him and backs who, can really block.
They know how to block. They're interested in blocking, which probably they're not all that in college.
They carry the ball. That's all they do. They don't block. And, and left tackles and schemes and all this stuff. And, it's going to be interesting how he does.
Back on the phones, we've got Mike in Florida. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, a pleasure to speak to Mr. Nelson. I was a big fan in the way you played. I have two totally different questions for you, if you would be so kind. I was one of the few supporters of Tony Eason back in the day. In 1984, I think he was third in the league behind Montana and Marino in passing efficiency. And in 86, the Pats scored the most points in the league without a running game. So I always thought he got a bad shake. I know John Hanna thought he was a pussy
and all that.
What can you tell me your opinion on him and if he was respected in the locker room? And then second, real quick, if you could tell us why some real talented college players never make it in the NFL and why other less talented players do make it, in your opinion. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll answer Tony. I like Tony. I think Tony was a good kid. And
thanks for the call, Mike.
The couple of things that really went against Tony was he was competing against Steve Grogan, and Grogan was such a competitor and such a tough guy and such a fan favorite that whoever was going to compete against Steve, was not going to win the popularity contest. And Tony had a plan when he came out of Illinois, and that he's going to play X amount of years. He's going to retire. He was single. And he was going to make enough money that he didn't have to work again. And I think he made that public. So a lot of guys took that the wrong way. In a locker room, there's such diversity in a locker room. There's just everyone has an opinion, and all the opinions are different. So there's no locker room consensus that he was he should wear a dress or any of the things that was said. I thought he was an effective quarterback. What he needed to really work out and get stronger, and that's what led to his problems. He was just so weak in his upper body. He could throw the ball, but when he played against the Raiders and he got hit by Rod Martin or whoever it was and separated his shoulder, is because he had no strength. The reason why
it's the Paul Perillo story.
I think why some players can really excel at a pro level that. They didn't, and the college level is finally put in a position where they can make plays. And oftentimes in college, they're either kind of pigeonholed into as a rusher or a coverage guy or whatever. And I think the biggest thing is that their ability to pick up defenses. How smart they are, how football smart they are.
And I think the other you made the point earlier about Von Miller. A lot of the guys that are stars in college. Even his name is escaping me now. The receiver from Texas, from Oklahoma State,
who was
Dez Bryant. A lot of receivers don't see a lot of press tight coverage or zones in college. They have 10, 15 yards before they see a defender in their face, and they can run their route without obstruction. You get to the league, it's different. You get chipped. You get knocked. You get tighter coverage. You get better corners. You're an outside linebacker. You've got a tight end chipping you. You've got double teams. you're seeing different things at this level, so you're potentially exposed as not as great a player as you might be. There are some great players who, you know, excel at both, obviously, but I think that might be another reason see that.
Absolutely, and I think you brought the position up, but probably, and I don't know this, but you guys may know this, is what position that is drafted high that usually is a higher failure rate. And I would say that would be wide receivers just because of that. You know, you're getting some of these.
That's tough to draft a receiver that high. Yeah.
You know, their deep passing game is, you know, run as fast as you can. We'll get somebody to throw the ball as far as he can. Mm-hmm. And you're going to catch it.
And a lot of their receivers don't work out in the NFL.
And a lot of those guys don't work out because they're real speed guys.
It's a great point.
You know,
yeah, so. I do. I think it's a great point. I think a lot of that is, and Bill talks about this all the time, the lack of sophistication in the college passing game. They don't run the routes that you're required to do. They don't have the timing.
They don't have the execution.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to read. They don't have all the hot reads that they do. Now, you know, as college football is sort of evolving more and more now to more, you know, these guys like Bobby Petrino in some of these spread offenses with Urban Meyer and these other guys, there's more sophistication. But still, there's a lot of guys, just like Nelly just said, it's go routes.
Right.
Yeah. What does Bill always say? All the college football passing game is go routes and slip screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
bubble
it.
Screens. Yeah,
those, and that's all they run. Now, the NFL, those are becoming extremely popular.
Right.
But you can't just run go
you
routes
can't just do
in
that.
NFL.
You have to run hooks. You have to run curls. You have to run
especially
comebacks.
If you want to be playing for Tom Brady. Because if you're not where
outs,
you're not where exactly you're supposed to be, he's not going to throw the ball to you.
A lot of combination patterns and stuff like that. And watching college, you know, the way they beat the blitzes, you know, well, you have got like
throw
Cam
it
Newton, or you have Cam Newton 7 yards back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets a direct snap, and they run a little trap in there, and he runs for 25 yards.
Make a guy miss because my athlete is better than any other athlete on the field.
Right.
So you're going to have a free rusher. You got to make him miss, Cam. And then you can do what you just said.
And people might say that's not true, but that is absolutely true. And Oklahoma State was a team that really, with Barry Sanders, you know, they had a play design where he runs, you know, off tackle, and they don't block the onside inside linebacker. And they say, well, how can that be successful? And he goes, well, that guy won't be able to tackle Barry Sanders.
Right. And in the NFL, even the elite athletes are going to have, there's not going to be the gap between you.
Between good and bad.
Even if you are the best athlete on the field, the gap between you and the next best guy is not great enough that you can do that consistently and get away with it.
Right.
I mean, Michael Vick certainly has gotten away with that at times during his NFL career, but not consistently and certainly not for a whole season.
Right.
All right, this might be a good email to wrap up the show with. We've got Scott from Doesn't Say Where, but this is for Nelly and the kids. I don't think we've been called kids for a while.
It's been a long time since I've been
you
called
me. But who's your all-time Patriots starting 11 defense as a 3-4? Come on, Nelly, don't wimp out. No pulling punches.
That's a tough one.
Well, I would be the starting inside linebacker and probably captain of the team.
No pulling punches there, right there.
I would have to say Seymour would be one tackle.
All right, that's one end.
Oh, the nose they have now. He's a great player.
Will Fork.
Vince is a great player.
So
was that a little bit of a senior moment?
That was.
I'm writing these
down.
That was
one of those ding moments coming back.
We've got Seymour on the right, Will Fork at nose. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and Nelly, we've got Nelly on the inside
I have to.
And captain. I got the C next to it.
I would say, Julius Adams, for longevity, Julius was, you know, he played 17 years. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other. Andre Tippett would
be
one.
Tip obviously on the outside.
Then you have McGinnis and Donnie Blackman and Rabel and
who would be on the other side of Tip?
Good question.
The outside.
I was interested to see where you obviously mentioned McGinnis and Rabel.
Longevity.
Don Blackman.
Yeah,
that's a tough call.
I would go. I'd probably go with Willie McGinnis.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
I think he was the most physically gifted.
So who lines up next to you?
Who lines up next to me? I think if you take players at
you've got your guy. Rembert,
I don't
want to
say Gerard Mayo. I think Gerard Mayo is going to be an incredible football player. You know, he might even supplant me.
Oh, so you got to pick Mayo.
No, I'll take Teddy Bruschi. I think Teddy played again. Okay. He played 13 years, and he's great. Great playmaker.
Okay, your front seven right now looks like this. Seymour, right to left. Seymour, Will Fork, Adams.
Yeah.
Tippett, you, Bruschi, and Willie Mack.
Yeah.
That's your front seven right now. So now we've got four spots left.
I got my corners of Raymond Claiborne and Mike Hands. Although Ty Law would be a third corner in there.
Your slot corner?
You forgot the Steve from Fall River.
But you know, Ty Law. But now
so have they replaced Ty Law?
Hanes and... who'd you say? Who's the other one?
Raymond Claiborne. Ray Claiborne. Incredible football player.
And we'll put Law, we'll put Law as the slot. So
he's faster than Stanley Morgan.
Okay. So that leaves your safeties.
Safeties would be...
Yeah, I see you. I see you.
Probably Freddie Marion,
Paul.
Maybe.
Yeah. That was Paul was giving me the 3-1 signal.
Yeah, he was great. Freddie was an incredible football player. And probably Harrison.
Rodney. Yeah.
That's a good defense.
Rodney Harrison.
That's a pretty good defense.
And Fred Marion in the safety spot. Boy, that is it. Oh, yeah.
Freddie was the smartest player I've ever played with. He was just incredible.
He seemed to be that guy in the run in the mid-'80s there.
Oh.
Every single time the defense needed to make a play, he was around the ball.
You know, I think he was a player of the month 2 months consecutively, and you know, he'd be playing free safety and he'd make some play, you know, on the sideline, some play in the middle of the field. He's just all over and great teammate, great player. But there's a lot of guys, you know, obviously that I probably have overlooked, but that'd be a good team.
Nelly, why don't you give the shout-out for Mosey's
Thank you, Paul. Again,
event again.
On August 23rd, we're going to have an event in evening for Mosey's Itupu. It's the second annual. We're taking all the money and giving it to high school athletes who have some type of learning difference so they can continue their education. We'll also give a scholarship to Curry College, which has a great program for kids with learning differences, something that Mosey is really involved in. I had I had the great pleasure and fun to coach with Mosey at Curry for 5 or 6 years, and what he did with these young men was incredible. But we don't want to have guys like Mosey forgotten by people. He just gave too much, and people, he wasn't a starter. He wasn't, he's a starter on special teams, but he was such a great player for us, and the way he conducted himself and prepared to play, and just a great teammate. August 23rd at the stadium. Tickets are $55. You can go on patriots.com. I think it's on the front page. Click it. Come to the game. Come to that event. You're going to have a great time. Lenny Clark, Steve Sweeney, the Pauls, Eric, and that's it.
Thanks for stopping by, Nelly.
Well,
it's great having
it.
It's great. We don't have guests very often, and it's great to have good guests.
If you leave that half a sandwich for me,
it's all yours. That's all yours if you want it. It's turkey, mayo, lettuce, and tomato. It's all yours if you want it.
Well,
Nelly,
thanks for having me, and
thanks, Nelly.
For
it was great.
All right, and hopefully the next time we see you, which will be noon Thursday.
Correct.
We'll have some good news at least approaching. It looks like Thursday, the end of the week, we're going to have this lockout thing resumed. Fingers crossed, but we'll be here to talk about it on Thursday. We'll see you then. It's across the hill in the town lit up. The world got still. I'm learning to fly.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.